Thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you guys for being here for this session. Myself, Amit Bhusain, I'm a master's student in the Department of Horticulture at WSU, and my master's research is exploring the potential of post-harvest nitrogen application in northern highbush blueberries. And to start off, I'll just give a general background of production statistics from the Washington state. So according to United States Department of Agriculture 2017, Washington State is the national leader in organic blueberry production. It produces almost half of nation's blueberry, which is worth approximately $38 million. And the numbers I'm putting forward is majority of them are coming from eastern Washington, which represents 75% of Washington's total blueberry acreage. And eastern Washington is represented in the red circle in the Washington map. And now I'll move forward and we'll try to give you a background on the basic growth parameters for the blueberries. So nitrogen, it is the primary nutrient applied to blueberries, and its availability is really critical for long-term longevity of the plant and for commercial successful commercial growth and production. It's really important for the plants, and growers are always advised to fertilize the plants during that period when there is more demand in the plant for the nitrogen. And based on the literature, late bloom to fruit maturity is the maximum nitrogen demanding period in northern highbush blueberries. And growers are always advised to fertilize the plants during this period. And failing to fertilize the plants during this period can significantly decrease the yield of the plants. And once the parameter is achieved during the growth season, post-harvest application of nitrogen is not recommended in blueberry plants, as it can lead to late winter injury by delaying the acclimatization and making the buds vulnerable to frost injury. And it has been also seen that it can also decrease the fruit bud set for the following season growth. However, there has been researches done in the Oregon State University where they have found that blueberries, being a perennial crop, can store nutrients in their crowns or woody stems and later reallocate them whenever they require before the bloom period. Additionally, it has been also studied that they can uptake fertilizer from or nutrients from the soil of past July, which suggests that there may be a potential of doing post-harvest nitrogen application, which may encourage additional fruiting wood that can serve as that can help us to increase yield for the following season by increasing the food bud set in the later August or September. So the objective of my study was to evaluate the impacts of post-harvest nitrogen application on plant growth, yield, fruit bud set, and cold hardiness in an early fruiting cultivar, Duke. So for this experiment, I have four different treatments based on timely application of nitrogen. The first treatment was control, where all the nitrogen was applied pre-harvest, and that's the standard grower practices in every blueberry growing region. And the second treatment was 80-20, where 80% of nitrogen was applied pre-harvest and 20% was applied post-harvest, same as with 70-30 and 60-40. So for this, the amount of fertilizer rate was kept constant, and it was 129 kg of nitrogen per hectare. The source we were using was Weiser. It's a compost derived from decomposing vegetables. It's a liquid fertilizer. And we applied the fertilizer weekly starting from 17th of April to 22nd of August 2018 by using this marked beaker. So we first calculated the amount based on the rates, where how much rate a particular treatment required, and then we applied the fertilizers near around the crown of the plants. So the experiment was set up as a randomized complete block design with 16 plants in per treatment, and all the treatments were replicated 4 times. And all the data were analyzed using R on ANOVA and using 2 PHSE post-hoc tests. So the data I'm collecting is categorized into different sections, because we also wanted to see how our post-harvest application plus the change in the amount being applied pre-harvest can affect the plant growth and the other parameters in the plants. For this, I have collected vegetative growth parameters, which include lateral shoot growth and productions of web, which would give us an estimate that how my plants are responding to the fertilizer applications. Plus also we have already collected unmanned aerial vehicle data, because for collecting ground truth data, it's really hard in blueberries because we need uniform results and consistency throughout. So we decided that we'll be using drones to map the whole field, and based on that images we can define crop density, canopy cover, and estimate the nitrogen levels, which can be weather correlated to get the NDVI or GNDVI values. For this talk, I'll just restrict my data to NDVI values. The other parameters which I collected was average yield, and we harvested 3 plants from per treatment plot. And the other fruit variables were, which I collected from 50 berry sample sites from these harvested plant, was average berry mass, diameter, fruit firmness using a FirmTech, soluble solid content, and tritable acidity. This would help us to find out whether the amount of change in amount of pre-harvest nutrient or fertilizer, whether they are putting in effect on our plants or other variables. And as I said earlier, we are also collecting fruit bud set, because we wanted to see if our late season nitrogen application is putting an effect or generating additional wood for the following season or not. And we also wanted to see whether there is any effect of post-harvest nitrogen application on winter, or leading to any winter injuries in plant. So how I've collected the cold hardiness data is that we collected fruiting wood from 10 plants, and after collecting the wood, we took them into the lab and wrapped them into the foil, and then using polar port method, where we will decrease the temperature of the buds to a certain level and see if they are dead or not under the microscopes. So for the preliminary results, I have the cumulative shoot length, which I collected in June, July, August, September, and I have collected these months because we were only looking if they are growing late in the season. So we didn't find any significant difference between the treatments, but here you can see in the graph that the green color, which represents the 60-40 treatment, was growing more than any other treatment, but there was a huge variability in the data, as you can see from the standard error bars. And moving forward to the other vegetative growth data, is that was NDVI value, and we collected it just one time, and that was at the end of the season, and we didn't find any significant difference in the treatments. Moving forward, we also collected average yield data. So here you can see that there's not any significant difference between the treatment, but the 60-40 treatments was the highest in yield. But here I want to point out that there are less chances that my fertilizer application would have lead to this much this differences, because if you see, the fruit bud set was decided from the previous season's fertilizer application. So after collecting the vegetative data and yield data, we just wanted to see if our plants are consistently lower or showing any nitrogen deficiency. So we went out in the field and visually seen the plants, that we didn't find any nitrogen deficiency. But when we took the leaf tissue samples, they were consistently lower than the recommended range. The recommended range for nitrogen is 1.76 to 2%. But after looking at this data, this is consistent with previous studies done in Eastern Washington. So the plants were not at all low in nitrogen leaf tissue concentration or deficient in nitrogen. So these are the other results, where I collected number of whips per bush and average berry mass, firmness, berry diameter, soluble solid content, triptable acidity, and fruit bud set. There wasn't any significant difference except firmness and soluble solid content. But this difference could be due to the way how the plants have been pruned, or it could be due to the shorter sampling size also. And moving forward to the cold hardiness data, where we have evaluated different temperatures. In October, we started with from minus 10 to 19 degrees Celsius. But on the, if you see the on the x-axis, I have just presented my, I've started to count from minus 13 degrees Celsius to leading to minus 19 degrees Celsius. Because above minus 13 degrees Celsius, like on minus 12, minus 11, and minus 10, all the fruiting buds or the fruiting florals part were alive and they were not dead. We have seen some differences in treatment, but they were not consistent throughout the treatments or throughout the at a particular temperature. And there was also huge variability in the field. So, and leading to November, we decreased the temperature in November. We started with minus 14 to minus 23, and all the buds were alive till minus 16. But after then, we saw differences in treatment. But again, there was no consistent pattern where we can find out. But again, there was a huge variability also related, as we can see in my results. So in December, we started with minus 14 and went down to minus 28. And again, there wasn't any consistent patterns. But in each of these graphs, you can see by the end of the, like reaching the end of the temperature, lowest temperature, buds were getting along, like they were reaching to 100% dead. So the conclusion I can make is like there are few differences observed in 2018 results, and this could be because blueberry being a perennial crop, and there is a huge carryover effect from previous year fertilizer applications. So they can store nutrients, and the effect could be shown in the next season. So the project is still in progress, and we are collecting data for 2019, and hopefully we'll see some conclusive results this year. With that, I would like to thank my graduate committee, Dr. Lisa Vasco-Duvetter, John Davenport, and Gwen Hoheisel, and with all the industry people that will help me and my lab mates. These are my references, and if you have any questions.
Thank you very much. Question? I was just curious about what was the nature of your nitrogen source? I'm not familiar with that particular. Is it an organic type of fertilizer, or was it a granular?
So the question, what was the fertilizer source which I have used? So the source which I have used is Wiser. It's having the NPK gradient is 3:2:2. If I can go back and I can show you. So you can see the NPK gradient, and it's a liquid compost derived from decomposing vegetable material that's less power. It's kind of compost, so it's a liquid fertilizer.
And was that put on through drip irrigation?
No, we manually went and applied to it, but you can definitely apply it through drip irrigation.
Next question.
Are you aware of the data that's similar with conventional fertilizers that might be faster to release? Has anyone done an experiment similar to yours with conventional fertilizers?
So the question was whether would there be any difference between conventional and organic fertilizer? That's what the question?
Yeah, everyone's done the work with conventional fertilizer similar to what you've done.
Yeah, so I would definitely see a difference in conventional and organic fertilizer, because conventional fertilizer, they can rapidly release nitrogen, and organic fertilizer, they take time to get breakdown and get mineralized in the soil and get the nitrogen available to plants. Definitely there would be a difference in it. That would I expect.
Question. Are you planning to collect soil data, because you are going to put nitrogen that is going to mineralize after and as harvest? So we can suspect that most of the nitrogen is not utilized and could be an environmental problem. Are you thinking to measure nitrogen at the end of the experiment?
So the question was whether I was going to measure some soil characteristics or like effect of my fertilizers on soil parameters. Yes, I'm collecting some of the data, but not the mineralization data. I'm collecting soil pH at the end of the experiment, at the beginning of the experiment and after it, each year end, I'm collecting soil samples and trying to see how much nitrogen is being still available in the soil through my, I cannot say it's definitely because of my fertilizers, but if you're asking, if you're saying environmental issue, most of the organic fertilizers, the ratio of ammonium and nitrate, ammonium is really high and they are not suspect to leaching. So if it would have been nitrate, that I would have considered that they can leach, but not ammonium. So from environmental aspects, I don't expect any
thank you very much.
Results.
Okay, we need to move on. Thank you.